Welcome to Skills of the Future, a podcast by Perennial Talent. In this mini-series, we explore the skills and competencies needed to face the new realities of work.
Welcome to our Skills of the Future podcast. Our theme for the series is HR Game Changers, the skills and competencies needed to face the new realities of work. My name is Dan Vanderwerf, Principal Consultant at Perennial Talent. My guest today is Anjali Menon. Anjali is the Regional Head of Talent Center of Competence for Asia Pacific and Sub-Saharan Africa at Nestle. She is responsible for talent acquisition, talent management, organizational development, leadership and team effectiveness interventions, diversity and inclusion, coaching and mentoring, and learning and capability development. Anjali has over 15 years of HR experience with specific expertise in driving transformations across different geographies and functions. Wow, very impressive. Anjali, welcome. We are so pleased to have you on our podcast.
Thanks a lot, Dan, and thank you very much for this very generous introduction. Happy to be here and to share about my learnings and experiences. Yeah.
Perfect. So how are you doing? How are you surviving during this global pandemic?
Quite interesting times that we are living in. Of course, it started with the initial phase of saying that, oh, it might be for a short time. But we realized that this is really the new normal. So pretty much come across the ways of working and ways of living around it and adjusted oneself to it. It's going well. Yeah. Absolutely okay. Fine.
Very good. That's actually a good segue into our first question, which is, how do you think the world of work has changed? What has the impact been of more employees working remotely?
It's a very interesting question, Dan, because, the evidence of dramatic change that was happening all around us was always there, at least for the past 3 to 5 years. There have been discussions on the great technological breakthroughs we have had with automation, robotics, AI advancing so quickly, the demographic shifts which were happening with the changing size and distribution and age profile of the population. Urbanization has impacted a lot of moving of population across cities. The shift in economic power, which is really between the developing and the developed country, and last but not least, the impact of resource scarcity on climate change, which is leading to so much of focus on sustainability and how do we care for the planet. So while all this was happening and we are talking about VUCA and the VUCA world with some disruption, a black swan event of COVID-19 arrived. And what it did is it brought the future of work today. And so we are living in the future of work. So it just accelerated the need to address all these dynamics which were happening around us. That's how I see it. What has been the impact of this? I would say that the impact has been at 3 levels when it specifically comes to how people are working. It's at organization, team, and individual level. Mm-hmm. And how it is affecting them is through tangible and intangible aspects both. If I can deep dive a little bit, I'd like to share for organizations. It's been really about starting with what are the tools and technology they need to provide to enable people to work remotely. Do they have the right culture to embrace this new normal? Do they need to put new guidelines in place to make this shift happen? Is it a change management that's needed for them or a transformation? And it depends upon how they were operating before COVID, because perhaps some places which had those clear norms of remote working, or say probably those flexibility in corporate, for them this is just a change management, but a more traditional organization needs a full-scale transformation.
Right.
And the most relevant question for organization is, the leadership you had now or say yesterday, is the leadership for today or tomorrow? Mm-hmm. So this is for the organization, how it is impacting. For the team, it's about how do they ensure the engagement and cohesiveness to happen in these times where you don't see a face-to-face interaction. We all know about 70 to 90% of our communication is through body language. Mm-hmm. And when there is remote working, how do you sense that? How are the, on a very tangible level or say hard fact level, what are the norms which can ensure that we have the flexibility so that people are feeling they can maneuver and work around as their comfort. But there is also accountability in the teams, which goes hands in hand. What are the one of the most important way of sparking creativity was those coffee corner conversations or water cooler conversations, which is something which goes missing when we are going fully virtual for months and months and months. So how do we have those informal touch points of collaboration which spark creativity? The huge amount of questions which are coming in teams, and it comes from my experience as well, because I have been leading a semi-virtual team, which 40% of my team is located in different geographies, 60% is located physically in Malaysia. But yes, these are the challenges we are facing, and now we are in a position to perhaps advise and share our learnings with others in our own organization, Nestle, and we have seen people reaching out. For the individuals, it's about creating, how will they create the workspace which allows them to flex? You know, what is their primary place of work? So drawing those physical boundaries within your own environment is the first thing. Then drawing those boundaries in terms of saying, if you are personal and professional areas are merging 24/7, how do you segregate in your mind, in your mindset, so that you maintain sanity? So that brings in the aspect of mental health and resilience to go through this whole phase, which is very, very magnified, and everybody's concerned about it. Emotional intelligence has become more relevant than any other time right now. As I was speaking earlier also about the fact that if you don't see someone, how do you sense and work together and collaborate? So for huge amount of change at all levels which are happening and questions to be answered. And we are working with our teams, and fortunately, we look at more than about 60 countries across Asia Pacific and Sub-Saharan Africa. Mm-hmm. So in Nestle, myself and my team, we are working with different teams to look at many of these aspects and the huge learnings which are coming out of it for us as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, lots of challenges there. And I love how you kind of broke it down to the organization, team, and individual level, because there's kind of unique challenges for each of those levels, for sure.
Thank you.
So thinking of the whole talent life cycle, from kind of hiring to learning and development and career pathing, what is the biggest need or greatest changes that you've seen? And are there any areas or roles where these changes are especially salient?
So these changes, because it's happening at the business, at the global level, you know, it's happening at all levels. It's obviously having a huge impact on the full talent cycle. And there are two ways of doing it. Either it's a point of reflection for, organization, teams, and individuals, as I said, to sit back and reflect how the changes can be incorporated for them to be more efficient. Or if they keep the status quo, they need to keep on learning as they go. Mm-hmm. I would like to say, to start with, the workforce planning plot. Now, because remote working is the norm, what kind of workforce do you need? Do you need a full-time, a part-time? How do you want to integrate a gig workforce in your organization? Because this whole ways of working gives you huge flexibility as an organization, gives you huge flexibility as a team leader to look at very, very different options, because physical workspace is not constrained anymore. Yeah. And for some organizations, they are still coming to terms with the gig workforce. So workforce planning, looking at how to have a more flexible model to start with. Then the second part of the hiring process, that's a pretty quick win, frankly speaking. Hiring had been made fully virtual or online to a lot of extent by organization even before COVID happened. Mm-hmm. The question here is, do you need to revisit your talent attraction strategy? Because it might be a good time to acquire talent that is in scarcity, or what is your strong business need. So some organizations are looking at acquiring talent which is quite savvy in digital, which is very obvious. Some can look at the aspect of inclusion, which was a big ask, and they really wanted to embark on this journey. Some are talking about specific technical profiles, which might be in scarcity, like in a, you know, in a FMCG sort of organization, engineers or scientists or research people can be a scarcity. So good point to look at, revisit a talent attraction strategy, because it is sort of becoming a buyer's market in most of the countries because of the employment scenario. So that's there. Which also brings us to a point of saying that as a responsible organization, are you going to support your community in a certain way? At Nestle, we are focusing very strongly on youth employability because we understand and we see unemployment going up significantly globally during this period. So in fact, about just a month back, we have launched a virtual internship across Asia, Pacific, and Sub-Saharan Africa, the whole region. And we are taking about 1,500 interns. Wow. So that they have this, and they have this opportunity of upskilling themselves and learning by doing in the organization. So yes, hiring is not just about hiring, it's about talent attraction, it's about being a responsible employer, and also an opportunity for creating ambassadors for your own organization externally. Mm-hmm.
Very neat. So that youth program, that's completely virtual?
Yes, absolutely. And that's what the unique fact for us has been. Mm-hmm. It's fully virtual, right? And we have tried to make it fun. Yeah. Because it's starting from the assessment is through gamified, and then they go, the onboarding is through an internal platform, which is again a sort of Facebook platform. Mm. Everything is online, virtual. The projects are virtual. So yes, people don't need to come to the office to go through that internship.
That's very neat. So what kind of skills or competencies do you think are most important right now for organizations? And what challenges do organizations face when it comes to developing the right skills and competencies required?
Yeah, and you know, when we talk about skills and competences, just to take a context here, it's important to also focus on how the learning and development is going through the change, because it's required by organizations to go fully virtual and to promote self-paced learning, to promote the concept of learning organization much more strongly. So which is a good change, because it's having a good impact on the environment. It saves cost as well to some extent, because yes, of course, there is a concern around it. But it also challenges the overall learner experience, because we miss the factor of the human touch point, which brings into fourth immersive learning and how we can use augmented reality and virtual reality for learning experience and developing careers. And that's where I wanted to touch upon the fact of learning before we move to the competencies, because the career paths are also changing very strongly, because we need people who have the innovative mindset, we need those collaborative platforms, and we need to work more as autonomous teams in the current environment. And in this scenario, what are the kind of skills, competencies, and going a bit into the traits that you need in your employees is very, very critical question that comes into picture. And when we talk about the competencies, the fact of few which are very critical at this point is on resilience and learning agility. Resilience from a perspective of saying that something which is strongly impacted is about mental health and well-being. And if people do not have certain degree of resilience that is needed to go through these times, their prospect of, you know, navigating or succeeding in this situation is significantly hampered. Learning agility, again, it's about you need to constantly unlearn and relearn. It's such a constant cycle every 2 to 3 months, because what was planned in December did not hold water in February, and what was planned in Feb might not hold water in May.
Absolutely.
So that's there. And then there's so much change happening. The fact, design thinking is a very, very important competency to focus on, and design thinking not only in the context of say, marketing or product, but design thinking in terms of the whole spectrum of work that is happening around us, and how do we integrate it with agile methodologies, but agile mindset, because that would help to come up with fast creative solutions very fast, yep. Very quickly, and move on. Yeah, on emotional intelligence, the part of having pragmatic optimism. And why emphasize on pragmatic optimism? Because we cannot deny the reality today. But there is no way to move forward without being optimistic of making a change happen. So that's the part of emotional intelligence becomes critical. Analytics and data science stays relevant, as relevant today as it was relevant a year back. Frankly, there's no change in that, and it's going to stay for a very, very long time. In fact, that should become the foundation of the ways of working for everyone. And last but not least is the fact of leading and working with remote teams. This is really, really critical for ensuring that we have some degree of stability in the workforce, in how we move as teams and how we move as organization. With these competency and craze, there's five or six of them is what I would say are quite critical in these times.
That makes sense. And there's a balance there of the kind of softer skills like emotional intelligence and learning agility, and some of the more technical skills too, like the analytics and data science and design thinking type skills. So how do you either hire for these skills or train and develop people internally to kind of leverage or grow in these skills and competencies?
A very, very relevant point here. So now what the challenge organization is facing is, first, as a part of prioritizing, what we want to look at is prioritizing for which role, what competencies or skills are most significant, and then ensuring the whole strategy of saying that, you know, you buy you talent from outside, you can borrow by approaching consultants, etc., or you can build internally by integrating it into their learning, or integrating learning, which can be in different ways, which can be in the whole 70-25 framework, basis how urgent it is. So the fact of prioritizing is the first most critical aspect. What do you need and when do you need it? And then looking at how we'll approach do three approaches. What we are focusing on is, as I mentioned about the hiring piece, in what kind of talent we want to attract at this point of time and how we can fill in those gaps. This can be, digital is one area which is very clearly a focus area. Inclusion, we want to have much more diversity, because when you talk about design thinking, innovation and creativity, diverse teams are much more creative and innovative. So yeah, these are something which can be looked at from a hiring or attraction perspective. In Nestle, in terms of building these competencies, we are strongly focusing on reflections and immersive learning, because that helps people to apply this on their roles, on their jobs, in a much more practical manner, rather than and especially with virtual learning mechanism, you cannot take people out for hours and hours. You have to break it into small pieces, help make it self-paced, and then have those fishbowl conversations or deep dive conversation when they can reflect, go back, implement, come back, you know, sort of agile. You keep on trying out, testing to the customer and coming back and trying out again. So that's how we are trying to develop these competencies rather than the traditional way of learning. Yeah.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And it's nice that you can do that virtually as well. Yeah. So then you don't need people to be all together in person.
Yeah. In fact, just to share with you a very interesting fact about when we started this journey of doing it virtually, and I remember it was month of March when we started, there was a very curious discussion on what are the platforms which will facilitate. So I think the HR has itself build so much competencies on virtual tools and learning mindsets. So which I believe we were not even looking at so significantly till about 6 months back. So, and organizations like Microsoft, Adobe, et cetera, coming with fantastic tools to facilitate these kind of reflections, immersive learning exercises, bringing those whiteboards and breakout rooms into the virtual world.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. So what are some of the future threats or pain points if organizations do not take the time to clearly define the skills and competencies that are needed for success? What could go wrong if some of these threats or pain points are not addressed?
To put it very simply, if organizations are not addressing, they are not clarifying what are the skills needed for success and working on it, they will become irrelevant. Mm-hmm. The life cycle of an organization has reduced significantly to about 10 to 15 years, as we are aware, and that happened before COVID happened.
Yeah.
So it's not a choice that the organizations have right now to define, prioritize, and strategize, then put in action to get those right skills. It's very important for the organization to revisit their business strategy and the people strategy for the short and long term. Defining a plan A and a plan B is very, very critical. And then for those plans, what are the skills and the competencies you need for both those plans? And then accelerate action plans to acquire those talent, develop them, seek support from outside, or maybe you don't need some talent, you don't need some skills at this point of time, and also identify and look at how you can, where you can deploy that part of your talent pool, how you can have them shift differently. So this is the threat is simply about saying relevant. If you want to stay relevant, you have to focus on your people strategy, which needs to look at both short-term and long-term aligned with your business strategy.
Absolutely. No, that makes a lot of sense. So focus on the business strategy, having that plan A and the plan B, and figure out the skills needed for all of those plans. So that seems like kind of one strategy that companies can take to mitigate these threats. What other actions can companies take to mitigate some of these threats?
One of the critical actions that companies can take is in terms of looking in, we spoke about the fact of the talent life cycle. So looking at the employee experience rather than looking at their HR systems, rather than looking at we have a hiring process, we have a learning development, we have career pathing, performance, reward, wellness, etc. Shifting the focus to employee experience, because the business has already shifted the focus to customer experience is the most critical thing for the business. So how does the organization make that shift happen, looking at everything that we do as an employee experience, and what are the touch points and what are the consistencies that we can have over there, and having a very seamless integrated process so that people are able to have similar experience, and looking at our employees as we look at our customers. The employee experience, seeking very continuous feedback from them, making the changes happen, and moving on the go. Would the employee, because it's really, really important to have the right talent, because as I said earlier, there is a huge amount of investment organizations are doing in time and effort to get the right talent, to upskill them, etc. When you're doing all that, if you don't provide them the right employee experience end to end, you lose them. And then it's such a huge loss in terms of time and effort, and even monetarily speaking for the organization. Mm-hmm. So that's something which can go wrong if we are not able to address, define, not on the skills, but how our whole flow of processes of human resources will look for an employee. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would say at a very fundamental level, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes a lot of sense too. So you have those skills and competencies clearly defined and you can apply them to the whole talent life cycle, but that on its own is not necessarily enough. You also have to make sure that that employee experience through the whole talent life cycle is an enjoyable one as well. And those seem like two kind of fundamental pieces that need to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights today. Very much appreciated. And it was an absolute pleasure to have you on our podcast.
Thanks a lot, Dan. It's a pleasure to share, and have a nice day.
Thanks. You too.